think that the historic evacuation of 120,000 people was remarkable, and I commend the administration for that. This is never easy. That's not always complete right from the start, but it was remarkable, even though it got off to a hazy start.
Hazy. It was a little hazy. It's a little hazy shade of winter. That's Nancy Pelosi, of course. Yeah, great job on the Afghanistan withdrawal. Different people have different standards. She thought September 11th, 20 years ago, was a pretty good day, too. She, different strokes, as they like to say. A good Wednesday and welcome once again. We continue to be at 888-630-9625. President Biden being heckled repeatedly yesterday in New Jersey and New York about leaving Americans behind, about botching Afghanistan. Heckler saying he should be ashamed of himself, naming an American who was killed in Afghanistan, buried in Arlington National Cemetery. Also heckling him on the climate change thing, which he's going on and on about, and completely crazy. Yesterday we were talking about the football games, college football games, over this past Labor Day weekend, where I believe now at least six different university campuses, they were chanting the same thing, coincidentally, which is expletive deleted Joe Biden. Beep Joe Biden. Bad word, four-letter word, Joe Biden, again and again. And it was a remarkable thing to see. Now, we had four universities that we had cited yesterday. We played audio from four different universities where they were chanting,
Joe Biden! Joe Biden!
And I tell you, there were the four universities cited in Breitbart assembled the online, the four universities and little video clips of the four football games where the same chant was being uttered. And then we got a call from a listener who said that his sons at Florida State University, the Seminoles, they were chanting the same thing there. Not that we were doubting, but Michael and I went to Al Gore's Amazing Internet, and we found video where a young football fan shouted that into the lens of an ABC camera as the camera zoomed in on the cheering fans. A young guy in his 20s shouted the same thing into the ABC camera. ABC didn't make note of it, interestingly enough. If
Joe Biden! Joe Biden!
If you listened carefully enough, you could hear the fan at the Seminoles game say it. But then we had the Seminoles. And then I got a call after the show yesterday. Sometimes I pick up the phone after the show on the call-in line if people are still calling in. And I talked to a nice man, and his niece goes to Purdue, to Purdue University, not the chicken thing, but the Purdue University. And his niece said that they were just out of the blue, said, yeah, at the football game, people were chanting, beep, Joe Biden, at the Purdue game. So that is a list of six. I have now a list of at least six major universities where the crowds at the football games were all chanting. Now, these people are supposed to be in Joe Biden's wheelhouse. These are supposed to be Joe Biden voters, college students, and all that stuff. So that's something that's going on, and that's unexpected, I think. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Josh, calling from La Plata, Maryland. Josh, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, what do you say, Chris? It's an honor to be on this radio station with you, buddy.
Well, welcome. Glad to have you.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm like Trump said, man, hold the line. The Patriots, man, it's great to have all these people yelling and standing up for themselves, man, because, I mean, it's just a great feeling, man, that people are starting to see the big picture.
I hope that that's the case, Josh. And I got to say, when you see college students in groups across the country, not at one or two universities, but at football games, at now I count at least six universities, chanting this anti-Joe Biden thing, it's vulgar, but, you know, what are you going to do? That's the culture they're being raised in. These are supposed to be, college students are supposed to be Democrats, Josh, and these
Correct.
Kids, you know, so right. What does that tell us?
that's telling us the new generation, the young generation, are starting to realize, man, being a patriot, following the Constitution, being American is the best way to be, bottom line.
It is. It's the coolest.
I love it.
Coolest country in the world, best country in the world, least racist country in the world, most successful, most prosperous country in the world, country that has sacrificed more, given more, the most generous country in the world. We give more to other people, people in need. In Afghanistan, in Iraq, we were going after the bad guys. We were the good guys coming in, going after the bad guys. Now, here we've got another thing altogether going on, because we thought we had won the Cold War when the Berlin Wall came down and the Soviet Union collapsed. But it turns out they've just morphed, and the left is back. And this is the party in the United States of slavery, of the Confederacy, of Jim Crow, of oppression, the party of standing in schoolhouse doors. This is the awful party in our history. And boy, they've got the people by the throat, as the nice lady in Casablanca says.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I live in the state of Maryland. I mean, that is the most democratic state. I mean, it's rough. We're going to get through it. I know we will.
Yep.
And like you said, the Jim Crow era, man, it's happening. It's happening. Just with these vaccines, masks. I mean, they're just pinning it on us, man.
They are.
And I feel that we're going to fight through this.
They are the party of authoritarianism, and they always have been. They're also the party of war. You know, Democrat presidents got us in the Confederacy, the U.S. Civil War. Woodrow Wilson, progressive Democrat, World War I. FDR, progressive Democrat, World War II. Harry Truman, progressive Democrat, Korean War. We had John F. Kennedy with a few advisors, and then LBJ get us into Vietnam. They're the party of war. They're the party of riots. They're the party of political violence. They have been all my life. They're just, I got to tell you, this party is a stain, not only in the history of the United States, but on the history of humankind, the Democrat Party in the United States. But Josh, I like your optimism. I like you seeing that people are waking up and we'll get through this. And I think we will too. I know we will.
I think we will too. You hit the nail on the head right when you said LBJ and Lyndon B. Johnson. They assassinated Kennedy for LBJ to be president, because he made what act? What bill was that?
Which one?
The bill that LBJ made.
If anybody knew history,
I know you do, but if they really learned how the Democrat Party is, look up that bill LBJ made after Kennedy was assassinated. It was the what bill? And if everybody understands that bill, then they'll start seeing the big picture.
Well, we're all looking for the big picture, Josh. And listen, thanks for calling in. I know that is one of the theories, one of many. Personally, I'm in the school of a communist named Lee Harvey Oswald with a rifle. Shot three times, plenty of time to do that. And shot John F. Kennedy in the head and murdered him that day. But I'm kind of old school. That's me. Josh, thank you for the call. Let's get back to Lunch Bucket Joe, who is not too bright. This is him yesterday talking about the weather, because there was a storm, and it was a tropical storm by the time it reached the northeastern United States, New York, and so on. Dozens of people were killed. There are people there who are blaming their own political leaders, the mayor of New York, the governor of New York, for not preparing the city and the state for the coming storm, which they saw coming for days. The news media is shutting those people down. Joe Biden on the weather, and it's the apocalypse. It's doomsday. It's the invisible man in the sky, and only the Democrats can save us. And all you have to do is give them half of your income and do everything they tell you.
The evidence clear. Climate change poses an existential threat to our lives.
Evans.
The nation and the world are in peril. That's not hyperbole.
Yeah.
That is a fact.
Yeah, that's not hyperbole. That's a fact. It's the apocalypse. It's the secular apocalypse. It's the global warming, climate change apocalypse. And he mangled how many words in that sentence? Mangled at least two major words in that sentence. Joe Biden, then he was wrapping up yesterday. And what's her name? Kathy Hochul, is that her name? The new governor of New York, standing behind him. He forgot to name all the Democrat politicians that came halfway across the state to stand behind him so that he could mention their names. And as he's wrapping up, he says, oh, yeah, I forgot to mention all you people. And the governor of New York, the new governor of New York, who drove out, you know, one of the people that drove out Gropey McGropeface of the Cuomo organized crime family, Baby Duck, who groped all of his female employees. And it was for years. It was fine. They all covered it up for him. And Kathy Hochul is standing there, and he forgot to mention all these people. Joe Biden.
Is this your district?
Grace Meng.
Oh, it's Grace's district.
No, it's Ocasio Cortez.
I want to thank her personally for her gumption, the way she's fought and hollered and fought so hard.
Fought, hollered, and
fought.
For all
the people in this alley.
In this alley, for all the people in this alley. He wants to congratulate, and then he forgot to mention the governor, who's a woman. If he were Donald Trump or any Republican, he'd be a sexist for doing that. It would be a prime example of his misogyny. But he's very severely brain damaged. He's a very limited man. He has been for decades, for many decades. All right, let's go to, let's move on, because, you know, the weather and all that. Ain't it kooky, the weather? Let's go to semite number 13, right? Anthony Blinken, who is the secretary of the entire Department of State and a wan, wispy man. He went all the right schools and learned all the wrong lessons. He's now the secretary of state. And, you know, we've got all these hostages being held by the Taliban behind enemy lines on planes that aren't allowed to take off. You see this letter from the State Department, this email from the State Department? Basically told him, you're on your own, like, you know, Blazing Saddles again. Here's Tony Blinken yesterday. Hostages? What hostages? I don't see no hostages.
We've been assured again that all American citizens and Afghan citizens with valid travel documents
assured
will be allowed to leave. And again, we intend to hold the Taliban to that. They've upheld that commitment in at least one instance in the last 24 hours with a family that was able to leave through an overland route. And we are not aware of anyone being held on an aircraft or any hostage-like situation in Mazar-e Sharif.
They're not aware of it. But well, we have eyewitnesses. The two of them were on the Fox News channel today talking about it. The planes have been chartered. The planes are there. There are satellite photos. They're pretending they're not aware of it. By the way, headline from U.S. News and World Report today, China weighing the occupation of former U.S. airbase at Bagram, which interestingly was actually built by the Soviets originally. We took it over, and now communist China is looking at moving in and having a major military presence there, good footprint. Then Fox News came back and said, well, China now denies that they're interested in taking over Bagram, but they're communists. Remember all the truths they told us about, you know, about, well, everything. How could I narrow it down? State Department obstruction of private rescue flights from Afghanistan revealed in leaked email. And this is an amazing story. An email that was from the State Department. I don't know if it was leaked. It was provided by the people that received it that were trying to get Americans out of Afghanistan. Eric Montalvo, who organized a series of private flights evacuating stranded Americans out of Afghanistan, shared the email and other emails with Fox News. And in the email, the State Department told Montalvo and the others trying to get Americans out, no independent charters are allowed to land at Al Udeid Air Base. That's in Qatar. The military air base you mentioned in your communications with Samantha Power. Remember Samantha Power? She's meth face from the Obama White House. In fact, no charters are allowed to land in any, and they misspelled it here, the State Department, at an DOD base. They meant any DOD base, but they wrote an. And most, if not all, countries in the Middle East region, with the exception of perhaps Saudi Arabia, will allow charters to land. Again, it's written by an illiterate. There are misspellings. It is a State Department. The grammar is horrible. The communication is lame. And this is our State Department. And they told him, you need to find another destination country, and it can't be the U.S. either. It can't be the U.S. either. So they're telling the Americans they are just out of luck, while the Secretary of State says, we're not aware of any of this. Here's an email making it clear they are aware and that they're being as unhelpful as they can possibly be. Just don't call them hostages. Remember when Jen Psaki said, don't say they're stranded, and she was angry, like Colonel Klebb, and she was very angry. And now they're saying, just don't call them hostages, because they're Democrats. They lie all the time, and the media helps them. That's the problem. Hey, when's the last time you looked at your credit card statement? Lately? Recently? Anytime? Been shocked by the interest rate? Have you looked at that number? Did you know you can actually roll all of your credit card debt into one monthly payment at a lower fixed rate and save money? Lower your interest rate and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. With LightStream, their rates start at 5.93% APR with auto pay and your excellent credit. Plus, the rate is fixed, so it will never go up over the lifetime of the loan. LightStream believes that people like you with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what LightStream delivers. Now, just for my listeners, that includes you, apply right now, get a special interest rate discount, save even more of your hard-earned money. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/plant. That's LightStream.com/PLANTE. Subject to your good credit approval, rates range from 5.93% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.5% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires your excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/plant for more information. Yeah, this is our State Department. And if we had a news media, I wonder what they would do with their time. Gosh, I'm a truth seeker myself. That's why I had to leave CNN and come and do this. Where, well, at least we fight for the truth, to be told. Sometimes we do have to fight for it.
Fine. You're on your own.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
So the State Department, an email made public, makes it clear that they're doing everything they can to obstruct private efforts to get Americans out of Afghanistan. While they tell us here that they're not aware of any of this going on, here's the email that shows that they are aware of it going on. Four prisoners Obama exchanged for Bo Bergdahl, now in senior Taliban posts. Why would that be a problem? It's Barack Obama. Don't you know who he is? He can slow the rise of the oceans. That's why he bought that oceanfront estate for $14 million. Four out of five of the Guantanamo detainees, whom former President Barack Obama released in exchange for former Army sergeant and deserter Bo Bergdahl in 2014, now hold senior positions in the interim government created by the Taliban in Afghanistan. Why would that be a problem? He's a Democrat, don't you know? That's also, the Taliban interior minister is on the FBI's most wanted list. He's a known terrorist, known around the world as a radical Islamic jihadi terrorist. The interior ministry, by the way, doesn't sound like much here, but in beephole countries like that, they control the national police forces. They're the ones that round everybody up and throw you in jail and stuff. There's a $5 million reward out for this cretin. His name is Surajuddin Haqqani, and he belongs at the end of a Hellfire missile. But instead, he's a senior government official.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
One of the funnier headlines today is from The Hill, a newspaper here in Washington. State Department voices concern over all-male Taliban government. Should express concern over their smell also. Maybe you should express concern over the fact that the entire government is holding AK-47s. Maybe that should be an area of concern. Just saying. You know, maybe that they're flying around in Black Hawk helicopters. Maybe that they shot to death that pregnant policewoman after bringing her home so they could kill her in front of her family, her husband and her children. How dare you become a policewoman? What do you think, you're Angie Dickinson? This isn't California, 1975. What's the matter with you? State Department voices concerns over all-male Taliban government is the headline. I laughed out loud when I heard that. Michael and Victor and I were talking about this earlier, and it's Michael said the Taliban has a new slogan, and here's their new slogan. Their slogan is "Diversity is our strength." See, it's they have an explosion in there, and if you read it, when they write it down, the bumper sticker says "Diversity is our strength." Ha 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 ha. Honestly, this is Joe Biden's legacy. It's not like all of this was unpredictable or unpredicted. I know that I predicted it, and I'm not even in the national security business. I'm not a complete moron. And apparently, all these people that went to Harvard and Yale are complete morons. Their dads got them in when they were 17, and whatever it is they're teaching there, it's not the right stuff. I got to tell you. What is it? What is their slogan? Diversity is our strength. That's a different one. That had shattering glass and stuff. That was a completely different thing. Yeah. The New York Times today, another failed presidency at hand by Brett Stevens. This September 11th, a diminished president will preside over a diminished nation. We're a country that could not keep a demagogue from the White House. Well, you know, I wouldn't call Biden, he's talking about Trump, of course, it's the New York Times. Could not stop insurrectionist mob from storming the Capitol. He forgot about the 300 riots and the looting and the thousands of injured police officers, the billions in damage, the thousands of businesses looted and burned. He forgot about those because he's with the New York Times. And he's a wanker. Could not win, or at least could not avoid losing, a war against a morally and technologically retrograde enemy. I wouldn't say the Democrats are technologically retrograde. Cannot conquer a disease for which there are safe and effective vaccines. Well, we conquered it because we created three vaccines as the Trump miracle, you know, Operation Warp Speed, and cannot bring itself to trust the government, the news media, the scientific establishment, the police, or any other institution meant to operate for the common good. Well, I could spend hours on that sentence alone, but a civilization is born stoic and dies Epicurean. That's a very fancy talk, wrote historian Will Durant about the Babylonians. Our civilization was born optimistic and enlightened. Well, you guys are murdering the lessons of the Enlightenment, but setting that aside for the moment, at least by the standards of the day. Now it feels as if it's fading into paranoid senility. See, he's back to Joe Biden again. Because that is a so this is another failed presidency, and he's blaming everything that Bret Stephens is talking about is the left. You people have abandoned science. You have abandoned the Enlightenment. You've abandoned culture. You've abandoned the greatest civilization, certainly arguably in the history of the world. You've condemned our history. You, like the Taliban, are tearing down our history. Even today, Robert E. Lee chopping up the statue of Robert E. Lee, the monument to Robert E. Lee, a Democrat, into pieces. And he's on a horse, so they had to bring in Luca Brasi to cut off the head and leave it in Waltz's bed so he could wake up screaming in the morning. That was Bill Clinton held a fundraiser at that house. At that house from The Godfather. We find ourselves commemorating the first great jihadist victory over America in 2001, right after delivering the second greatest jihadist victory over America in 2021. The 9/11 memorial at the World Trade Center, water cascading into the void and then trickling out of sight into another, has never felt more fitting. See, this is why the gloom and doom. Well, see, they're murdering our culture here, but it begins with the concept of another failed presidency at hand. Not even 8 months in, and Joe Biden is, already declared a loser, even by the New York Times. The president might also seize the strategic pause Senator Joe Manchin has proposed and push House Democrats to pass the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill without holding it hostage. There's the word hostage. That's hostage. To the $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill. Infrastructure is far more popular with the middle of the road voters than the Great Society reprise, or reprise if you prefer, that was never supposed to be part of the Biden brand. Well, the radical left, the Ocasio-Cortezes, who think that men have babies, they've taken over. My sense, Bret Stephens says, my sense is that Biden will do neither. The last few months have told us something worrying about this president. He's proud, inflexible, and thinks he's much smarter than he really is. I think you're onto something there, Bret. That's bad news for the administration. It's worse news for the country that desperately needs to avoid another failed presidency. Actually, President Trump was incredibly successful in so many ways. But when you guys wrote it, you wrote a false version of history because you're corrupt. You're corrupt, you see. Okay. All right. Now, let's go. I've got to do one. Well, all right. Let's do 13A because Tony Blinken, our Secretary of State, says the people being held hostage, he's not aware of them in Afghanistan, and that even if he were aware of them, they're not hostages.
We are not aware of anyone being held on an aircraft or any hostage-like situation in Mazar-e Sharif.
There are people on television. There are pictures of the we have a list of people that are, but never mind that. Tony Blinken, his pals in the Taliban will be held accountable.
We're engaging as we speak to resolve these issues and indeed to hold the Taliban to its pledge to let people with travel documents, including American citizens, freely depart Afghanistan.
Their pledge. It's like the Boy Scout pledge. You know, the Boy Scout, they put their three fingers up. They're drenched in blood. And they take the pledge, the Taliban pledge. It's a little different than the Boy Scout pledge, but these are the dimwits that he thinks they care about what the so-called international community thinks.
The international community is watching to see if the Taliban will live up to their commitments.
Are you kidding me? Live up to their commitments. Their commitment is to Satan and to their corrupt version of Allah And it calls for the total destruction. You know, they're committed to something, a mental institution. They're committed to the murder of hundreds of millions. Just it's absolutely extraordinary. And then Alexander Mayorkas, Alex Mayorkas is Mayorka. He's the Secretary of Department of Homeland Security. And he thinks that they're doing a great job of vetting.
We screen and vet individuals before they board a plane to the United States. Uh-huh. An individual who does not satisfy our screening and vetting protocols is not admitted to the United States.
Right.
And if, in fact, we learn information subsequently, we place those individuals in removal proceedings so that they are set to leave the United States as swiftly as possible.
As swiftly. We know how good you guys are with kicking people out as swiftly as possible with the open border to the south and all that stuff. Also, the Washington Post today, Afghan crisis wreaked havoc on Northern Virginia hospitals due to lack of federal planning. And they tell of story after story of patients being taken from the Dulles Expo Center to area hospitals, and then they lose them. And then now if you're a jihadi, you know, has anybody ever seen a prison movie? You always make your way to the hospital to escape. You ever seen a prisoner of war movie? You always go to the infirmary, and that's when you escape. They've seen these movies. These people aren't morons. They're bearded troglodytes from a medieval hell. But the Washington Post today goes on and on about how the hospitals in Northern Virginia are overloaded. Northern Virginia emergency rooms are being overwhelmed by the number of Afghans who are being taken there because they're not in perfect health. And then we're going to have to take care of their dental care. And then some of them just disappear, but the hospital system being overwhelmed. Good stuff. Jen Psaki said, oh, hostages? No, there are no hostages.
No, that is not what we would characterize it as. Those were points, those were comments made by a Republican congressman this weekend. So let me be very clear. We're in touch with American citizens. We're working to get them out. There are four who were able to depart over land. Our Secretary of State is in Qatar right now, working on a range of options, including getting flights up and operational and going. And what we have seen is that individuals who have documentation are able to depart.
Yeah, but they just don't call them hostages, and they're not stranded. You remember Jen Psaki said they're not stranded.
First of all, I think it's irresponsible to say Americans are stranded. They are not. We are committed
now
to
they're
get
not
them
hostages.
Home if they want to return home.
There are no Americans stranded is the White House's official position on what's happening in Afghanistan right now.
I'm just calling you out for saying that we are stranding Americans in Afghanistan when we have been very clear that we are not leaving Americans who want to return home.
Very clear. They're very clear. Corey Mills is one of the men who has been working on getting Americans out of Afghanistan. He was on Fox News this morning.
We had an aircraft that was already allocated. Manifest was finished. They were all ready to go. And the State Department, CENTCOM Command, and the Taliban had approved for this flight to leave. At the last minute, as Americans were getting ready to get on that Freedom Bird, that's when the State Department said, nope, we have to vet the manifest once more.
Corey Mills is a combat veteran who's running for the United States Congress. I sure hope he wins because good stuff. Tony Blair is the former prime minister, liberal of Great Britain. He believes that is a great friend of Bill Clinton and all this. And he believes that America has betrayed Great Britain, NATO, and the world.
America has decided that for the foreseeable future, it is a very limited appetite for military engagement, which gives our allies anxiety and our opponents a belief that our time is over.
Yeah, and our opponent said it's emboldening the enemies of civilization, and he laid it out there. And we're no longer a friend that can be relied upon because of Joe Biden. Nigel Farage, what the Brexit guy in Great Britain, adding to what Tony Blair had to say.
When you think about it, you know, Biden came to the G7 here in the UK. America is back. And they all said, oh, isn't it marvelous? We've got rid of that nasty Mr. Trump. We've got Biden. It's all going to be great. Actually, what Biden has done is taken America back to total isolationism because not only has he offended us, the British, and we do have a very special relationship, he's called the whole future of NATO into doubt. Nobody I mean, honestly, nobody could trust the Americans right now in terms of getting involved in any military engagements, because clearly he's not a man of his word. He made promises at the G7 that he broke with the unilateral withdrawal from Afghanistan. And so America is isolated and friendless.
Isolated and friendless. That is a fact, Jack. Absolutely remarkable stuff here. You know, there are so many amazing stories every day that the Democrats give us, and they're also terrible. But remember they said that President Trump was dismantling NATO by making them pay more into the common defense? It was the opposite of the truth. Now what they're telling you about Joe Biden is, for the most part, the opposite of the truth. Now, Kamala Harris, who once, I think she's campaigning today, or she did it yesterday with Mr. Teeth in California. And do you see the still picture of her with Gavin Newsom? She's cackling uncontrollably in the still photo. She's cackling. Now, news came out yesterday that no news media will report. A Minnesota man, Kamala Harris, advocated for a radical group in Minnesota after George Floyd, St. George Floyd, was killed by a police officer in Minneapolis. The left wing set up a bail fund, and Kamala Harris, who was then a senator, advocated that people give to this bail fund, to this radical left-wing bail fund. And sure enough, people did. And the bail fund bailed a bunch of people out, rioters and looters and arsonists, and they bailed out a domestic violence perpetrator, okay? And this domestic violence perpetrator that was bailed out by the Kamala Harris-approved bail fund was later arrested for murder. They bailed out a domestic abuser who was beating the wife and freed him. It had nothing to do with riots, but this radical left-wing group that Kamala Harris advocated for. A bail fund once backed by Vice President Kamala Harris helped free an alleged domestic abuser who is now accused of murder. George Howard, 48 years old, allegedly became involved in a road rage incident, an altercation on Interstate 94. He shot the driver to death weeks after being bailed out on a domestic assault charge. There's surveillance video and the BMW and all this stuff. But the victim who was killed, Louise Demarian Martinez Ortiz, was 38 years old, backed into the car. And this criminal got out, but Howard had been bailed out on $11,500 bond by the organization that Kamala Harris was advocating for, the Minnesota Freedom Fund. The Minnesota Freedom Fund. And if you're a Republican, you're just dead meat to the world. Your career is over in politics because the news media, you advocated for this radical left-wing group, and it is a radical left-wing group, the Minnesota Freedom Fund. They're not for freedom. They're for freedom for criminals and cop killers. They probably give him tenure at a major American university. And I've still got to get to, to Anthony Fauci, because we learned something big about him yesterday. And Senator Rand Paul, who's also a doctor, unlike Jill Biden, calling for him to resign or be removed. And will I be able to get to Sirhan Sirhan? I hope so. Stay right there.
Let's be constitutional.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So I mean, that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
You may remember that in July 20th, to be precise, Dr. Anthony Fauci, American media sweetheart, was being challenged by Rand Paul on whether he told the truth about U.S. taxpayer dollars going to the Wuhan Institute of Virology to fund gain of research function that would make a virus more deadly. It sounded like this.
Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement.
He doesn't retract that statement. Well, the headlines today are like this. Rand Paul vindicated, Fauci reported to Department of Justice for lying. Quote, it's a felony punishable by 5 years in jail, Rand Paul last night.
It's very dangerous to have public officials who we need to have trust in coming and lying to us. But he has lied dozens of times. Usually he tells us that it's for our own good. But yes, he has dissembled, he has obfuscated, there's other nicer words, but he has definitely lied to the American public, and he should be held responsible. But not just that, the judgment that we should continue to fund this lab and that the virus in all likelihood came from the lab, I think is such incredibly poor judgment that he should be immediately removed.
And the, you know, we had James Clapper also, former general in DNI, lie repeatedly under oath about spying on Americans. No accountability. Washington is corrupt, full of crooked people. This is a new report based on 900 pages of documents secured through a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit by The Intercept. And the 900 pages of documents show that the National Institutes of Health, which Fauci has headed up since Ronald Reagan's first term, provided money for gain-of-function research on viruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. That would seem to be case closed on that. Will anyone be held accountable?